Okay. The Greeks made three decrees against the Jews. What were the decrees? What were the three decrees? Bris Mila. The Greeks made three decrees. One was not to do Bris Mila. One was their Mavato Kiddush Achodesh. And Shabbos. They couldn't keep. Those are the three. Aside from Talmud Torah, those are the three. The Kiddush Achodesh, that declaring the new moon. So why? So what's the significance of those three? So first of all, nothing's by chance in Yadis. Everything works out. This is one of the reasons we have 8 days of Hanukkah. In other words, Chazal wanted that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah knocks out all three decrees. So there's a Shabbos in every Hanukkah, and there's Rosh Chodesh in every Hanukkah. And why is Hanukkah 8 days long? So there used to be 50 reasons. Now there are 250. There's inflation. Every couple of years they write a new sefer. How many reasons for why there are 8 days of Hanukkah? So one of the reasons is to have a remez of 8 days, Bris Mila. You're born the first day of Hanukkah, so you have Bris Mila on Hanukkah. That all the three decrees they made, so we are countering them with Hanukkah. So what's the Zavdavka, these three decrees? So there's a sefer Or Gedaliahu, Rav Gedaliah Shor Zatzal, famous giant. He was very famous, and he was made more famous by whom? By who made him more famous? Art scroll made him more famous, because every art scroll book has an introduction, and most of the introductions, Rav Nosson Sherman Shlita quotes Rav Gedaliah Shor. So a lot of his stuff that no one really knew, it was known for his Talmidim. Now the whole world knows it in English. They're very good. There you go, Gedaliah Shor. Here's what he says. The Greeks believed what you see is what you get. They believed in physical stuff. They didn't believe in anything ruchnius, anything underneath the surface. That was the Greek approach. Yavan, Yud, Vav, Nun, Sofit are the only three letters in the alphabet with no pnimius. Every letter has an inside and every has half a circle, inside and outside. Yavan, no pnimius. Straight lines. It's a very nice, Rav Lev Shlita always says that over. Says it over all the time. Yavan, what you see is what you get. They had statues. The statues normally were without clothing. They're into the body. What you see is what you get. So the Rav Shor explains, I'm going to say what he says with a minor adjustment, because one point he says I don't understand fully, so I'm just going to make a minor adjustment. That these three decrees had to do with this idea that there's no pnimius, there's no kedusha beyond the physical. Number one, Bris Mila is about the kedusha of the goof. The Greeks believe you have a body, the body's perfect the way it is. And Yadis says the opposite. Jewish people, we say that your body can create real kedusha. If what? If you have self-control. And the Bris Mila represents self-control of the body, kedusha in the body. That the physical body, it's water, it's gas, whatever it's made up of, you serve Hashem that with a little self-control, you create kedusha with the body. So that's Yavan, is what you see is what you get, straight lines. No. We hold that there's kedusha in the body itself. We discussed in the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha, you create kedusha in the most physical things, there can be kedusha. The Bris Mila represents that. A person goes to the bathroom. That's the most. What makes us as similar, you know, to the animals? You have to leave yourself. Totally mundane physical activity. And for us, you say a bracha. Suddenly, there's kedusha there. You say a bracha. Even that. So that's Bris Mila. So that's the kedusha of the goof. Then Kiddush HaChodesh is about what? The kedusha of zman, time. Time is the ultimate thing that represents physicality. Time conquers all. Everything ends eventually. Ad mei avesim, a person dies. Every physical thing decays eventually. Time is the ultimate natural thing that is possible to conquer. Time conquers all. So, Kiddush HaChodesh represents, no, it's not true. We control time. What is Kiddush HaChodesh? Based in declares Rosh Chodesh. So let's say Pesach is the 15th day of Nisan. It could be a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Who decides whether Pesach will be Tuesday or Wednesday? Who decides what? Who decides that? Who decides that? Beis Din. 2 weeks earlier, they're declaring Rosh Chodesh. If Rosh Chodesh is Tuesday, then Pesach is Tuesday. If Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday, then Pesach is Wednesday. So you're going to eat a sandwich, a bread sandwich, at 2 p.m. on the third Tuesday of Nisan. Is that... at 10 a.m. At 9 a.m. on the third Tuesday of Nisan. Is that going to be mutter? Or is that going to be an Isser Kares? Who decides? Not Hashem. Who decides that? Beis Din decides. Because when Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh, they are creating real Kedusha in the world 2 weeks later. It's an amazing thing. A human being can... That's what the myth of Kiddush Chodesh represents. A human being can create Kedusha in the world, real Kedusha. And what is that a symbol of? That's a symbol that time doesn't control... We control time. Time beats everything. It's not true. A person does a mitzvah with his time. How long does the time last for? If you do a mitzvah, how long does that time last for? Forever. Because the schar for that mitzvah is nitzchius. So even though, if you view the world from a physical level, time conquers all, once you have ruchnius, then it's not true. We conquer time. Because what we do literally lasts forever. So the Greeks understood this. Kiddush HaChodesh, whoa! You can make Kedusha in time? No! They stopped it. We say, no, there is Kiddush HaChodesh, because that represents that that moment becomes eternity. And then there's Shabbos. What does Shabbos represent? Shabbos talks about having Kedusha in the physical world. There's a physical world out there. It's physical. It's what you see is what you get. That's it. Shabbos represents, we believe God made the world. If you look around, you see God everywhere. If you know a little science, you see God everywhere in the Bria. Everywhere in the Bria. The leading scientists nowadays, there's a book out there, you should read it. But he came here a couple of years ago, Rafi Averick, to Yeshiva. His father, Rabbi Moshe Averick, wrote a book. It's an amazing book. It talks about that the scientists can't explain how life began. They can't. The percentages to explain how all these things, one lined up after another, is so complex. What one molecule has, they can't explain it. He has like 1,000 quotes in his book. They can't explain it. And you look around, God is everywhere. You look at a peanut. Look at a peanut. A peanut, you crunch it this way, it smashes, it's hard to eat. There's a little ridge on the side of a peanut. Why is the ridge there? It makes it easy to open. So you can eat it. And so if you crunch it this way, so the corrugated top protects the peanut. But there's like, you know when you have a chewing gum thing, like you pull that little red thing, it opens it easily? So there's that little ridge on the side of the peanut that makes it easy to open. How did it get there? God put it there. God wanted to have an easy opening can, an easy opening peanut. So you look at a peanut, wow. Hashem, thank you, you put a peanut there. An orange is a beautiful color orange. It looks good, it looks good to eat. You open up the orange, the inside of the peel is plain, like white. Why does the outside look nice? And the inside is plain. Because no one sees the inside when you're looking at it on a tree. God wanted the orange to be attractive. Hey, come eat me. I want you to enjoy my world. And the inside didn't have to be a beautiful color. It would be a waste to have a beautiful color on the inside. There are thousands of examples like this. Once you know a little bit of science, thousands of examples like this. You have an eyelid. I have a friend who's a doctor. He goes nuts about the... He'll spend you 10 hours. You've got to be careful. Once he starts, he doesn't stop. About the eye. Everything about the eye, the eyelid. It closes automatically. As soon as anything comes close, it naturally closes. It's like windshield wipers that start by themselves. Just a little eyelid like that. Things like that. Thousands of things like that. So we believe, and Shabbos teaches us this, there's Kedusha in the physical world too. So the Greeks understood all of this. And that's why they stopped Rosh Chodesh. They stop Bris Milah, and they stop Shah. And our belief is the opposite. Hashem is everywhere. There's Ruchnius everywhere. We're the opposite of Yavan. And that is a main theme of Hanukkah, that we bring Kedusha into, Ruchnius into this physical. You see this little candle, That's what the candle represents. That Hashem is here, and there's Kedusha in time, there's Kedusha in our bodies, and there's Kedusha in the actual physical world itself. Those are the 3 degrees. Okay. You got it? You got that? You got it?
Obviously, all of this fits with the other decree that the Jews wouldn't be allowed to learn Torah, and it was primarily Torah Shebal Peh. The Greeks were not against Torah Shebichsav, just the opposite. They translated the Torah into the other languages. They were against Torah Shebal Peh, and it's exactly the same idea. Torah Shebichsav, on a superficial, simplistic level, you don't know what it means. It's unclear. There's no depth because you don't know what it means. Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh has no depth, no understanding. The Torah Shebal Peh is the hidden Torah, hidden inside the Torah Shebichsav. It's exactly the same idea. The Greeks were against anything that's deep, the inside, the ruchnius insides of anything, and they rejected the Torah. The Torah Shebal Peh, and didn't want to let the Jews learn. Obviously, the way to bring Kedusha in lives is through Limud Torah, and especially Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is about Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is the only Yom Tov that's not found explicitly in Tanakh. There are Nevuahs that relate to Chanukah, but Chanukah happened after the period of Nevuah had ended. So therefore, on Chanukah especially, it's a time to rededicate ourselves to Limud Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's a reality out there. In the places where the Jews learn Gemara, there's the places that the Jews survive. The direct connection. You have to have Torah Sheba'al Peh, Limud Torah in your life, on an individual level, on a communal level, and on a national level as well. And this is one of the themes of Chanukah. There are many, many Ritmazim which connect to this. The Chazal describe the Or HaGanuz, this beautiful, powerful light, which was part of the original creation of the world. And it was so powerful, Hashem put it away, Ganuz. It was stored away for the Tzaddikim. And Chazal say that the Or HaGanuz was around for 36 hours. And it says in the Medrash that one can find the Or HaGanuz where? In the Torah Shebal Peh. It's in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. You can find the Or HaGanuz in the Torah Shebal Peh. Oh. And we know there are 36 candles. The Rokeach says this. There are 36 candles on Chanukah, because the light of the menorah represents the light of the Torah Shebal Peh. And some Sfarim point out that there are 36 mesechtos of Talmud Bavli. It depends how you count them, but that's what the Sfarim say. The 36 hours of the Or HaGanuz, the 36 candles of the menorah, the 36 mesechtos of Shas. This is another angle that the Greeks were against. The Greeks were always against any depth, anything of internal value, the ruchnius behind the gashmius, the depth behind the simplistic upper level. Oh. So it all fits on Chanukah, and it's a time to rededicate ourselves to more ruchnius and rededicate ourselves to more limud Torah Shebal Peh.